Like what you hear? Tell your friends. Thanks for listening to HRNradio.com.
Hi, folks. This is Autism with Dr. Andy, and today's guest, Terry Aranga, is the executive director of Autism One, and they present a wonderful group of talks in May. I think it'll be May again this year, the Autism One conference. You're in for a treat, and Terry is going to explain a lot of what's going to be offered. So with that, welcome, Terry.
Thank you, Dr. Andy.
So, Terry, you know, I am very biased toward the Autism One because I've been there the last few years and have experienced the absolutely fabulous talks that are cutting edge. Terry and her husband, Ed, provide many of the top experts in the whole country. So, but I'm going to let her talk more about that. So, Terry, tell us about Autism One, and even before you get into the conference in May, tell us how this all started, because I think folks would like to hear that as well.
Well, Ed Aranga wanted a place where parents could come and get information that would be helpful to their children and families on the wide diversity of topics concerning them. Some people have used the term one-stop shop, and the Autism One conference offers many tracks on many different content areas, and there is a great synergy among the attendees, sharing and growing information and ideas that help children and families.
Yes.
Throughout the year, historically, information would be provided, educational information, whether it be through print media or Autism One Radio, for example, but Autism One is an educational organization.
All right. You know, I want to mention that in the last few years that I've been there, not only have I been able to get information that's generally not available, but also have met with many people who have children on the spectrum or they're interested in autism, and everyone is so friendly. It's just amazing. I've never been to a conference like this. So with that, well, tell us a little more about what's coming up in May, Terry.
Thank you. It's a great venue for networking and hope, and that may be related to what you said about the happy, hopeful energy. And you're right, Dr. Andy. The Autism One conference and Autism One provide information that people won't generally get elsewhere. So we strive to put out the real information that will protect health, preserve health, and if a family member is already affected by autism or another chronic illness diagnostic label, that will restore health. So it's not just autism, it's what goes into that diagnostic label, immunologically, neurologically, etc. So coming up in 2016, May 25th through 29th, 2016, which is Wednesday through Sunday, we have about 130 speakers. And I just want to let your listeners know about the website. It's www.autismone.org, autismone.org. About 130 speakers, a wide variety of content areas, expertise, $49 until the end of the year for a registration.
Wow, that is a bargain. And so, Terry, with that $49 fee, that would allow people all, let's see, how many days? That would be a four-day pass, then, is that correct?
Five. Uh-huh. Yeah, 5 days. It doesn't include the CME, Continuing Medical Education Program, which we'll talk about in a little bit, but it's 5 days, about 130 speakers, and those speakers include Dr. Nicola Antonucci of Italy, who has exciting new results, Dr. Jean-Renal Corbier, Dr. Brian Hooker, Dr. David Lewis, Dr. Judy Mikovits, and let's see who else is going to be there, Dr. Tatiana Bakanich, Dr. Marco Ruggiero, Dr. Lucia Tomaljenovic, Peter Sullivan, and you, Dr. Andy, with The Best of Autism with Dr. Andy and all the exciting new things that you've been learning.
Wow, that's nice. I'm looking forward to it, Terry. It's actually become like my social event of the year because I get to see so many people that I've had on the radio, and I get to see them in person, and we reacquaint ourselves and chat. And last year, you also had Dr. Andy Wakefield there, and I had a wonderful conversation with him. And, folks, Dr. Wakefield is the guy who, way back when, I guess 11 or 12 years ago, they said that his work on autism and vaccines was not correct, and he had a very hard time, lost his license, if I'm correct. Is that correct, Terry?
Well, what we need to say about that is even though the General Medical Council in the UK did that, his co-author got his license restored. So if you have the resources to go through the bureaucracy, you know, if he had had the resources to do that, maybe his license would have been restored too. So let's say that it's just more of a political thing, and if anybody wants to read what, you know, really happened and more accurate information, they should read the book Callous Disregard, C-A-L-L-O-U-S-D-I-S-R-E-G-A-R-D, Callous Disregard, before making any judgments.
Yeah, the reason I brought him up, Terry, and I know it might be a little off the topic, but, you know, whenever people talk about vaccines, which is something very important to me, and they bring up, oh, well, Dr. Wakefield, that was his research was flawed, and then we find out later on that it wasn't flawed, that, in fact, his colleague was, as you mentioned, exonerated and for the same work. And as you said, had he had the money to fight it, he would have been as well. So this is a good case of a wonderful guy, a great guy, a wonderful scientist who really has been treated so unfairly and then used as a person to say, well, this is why, you know, vaccines are all okay. And, again, I've said this so many times on the show, Terry, I'm not anti-vax, but what I am is responsible vaccinations and appropriate study of all vaccines before we give so many of them, and also not spacing them out, and also not letting the parents actually know what's in the vaccine. So, but I'm sure we can talk all day about that, and I'll get back to our conference. Folks, Terry mentioned that their website, www.autismone.org, and should you wish to sign up, that's the place to go. And as you hear us for the next few minutes, you're going to be hearing about some wonderful presenters with cutting-edge information. So, Terry, tell us more.
Well, I want to get back to something you said earlier, Dr. Andy. And so not only was his colleague exonerated, but Dr. Wakefield, the research and the type of science and results with which he is associated, they've also been replicated by others. So it's not just him. You're right. He was made to be a straw man and a scapegoat so that other healthful measures that have helped people could be discredited. For example, if you talk to somebody about gluten-free diets, they might say, oh, there's nothing to that. That researcher from England has been discredited. So, yeah, it has been used deleteriously for quite a lot by setting him up. Other things going on at the conference, Dr. Andy, as you've asked about that, the first day of the conference on Wednesday, May 25th, there will be many things going on, but one of those things will be that non-medication approaches for attention deficit hyperactivity disorder will be highlighted. The Treating ADHD Naturally event will feature parents and medical personnel discussing healthful solutions for ADHD, autism, sensory processing disorder, dyslexia, seizures, Tourette syndrome, apraxia, food allergies, and more than that. You can hear how many children's behavioral, sensory, learning, and physical challenges were alleviated naturally and effectively. We know that's important to many parents to use a more natural approach. That will be going on all day Wednesday, the opening day of the conference. The 1 in 2 prevention track also takes place that day and features favorites like Dr. Stephanie Seneff and from MIT and Dr. Judy Mikovits. So that's the opening day of the conference. The first responders seminar also takes place that day, training first responders so that there are safer encounters if there's ever a situation where an individual with autism and a first responder meet up with each other. In the rest of the conference, to give you an overview, Dr. Andy, there's going to be a global HPV advocacy symposium, and I'll get back to each of these. As I mentioned, the continuing medical education program, an endocannabinoid medicine track. Some people think of that as medicinal cannabis. We're going to be focusing on EMFs, electromagnetic fields, and how that can be deleterious to health. I know that that's a special interest of yours, Dr. Andy. There's going to be the Focus for Health track from our valued colleagues at Focus for Health. So those are some of the things going on. Our keynote speaker is going to be Edwin Black, and we'll talk more about our keynote in a little bit. And even the TMR, the Thinking Moms, from the Thinking Moms Revolution, I know they're some of your favorite people, they'll be hosting a panel about puberty, very important topic. So which of those topics would you like to start to zero in on, Dr. Andy?
Well, you know, as you were mentioning these names and I wrote them down, I was thinking of, folks, you have to hear Dr. Stephanie Seneff, the MIT researcher who has calculated that by the year 2025, if we don't make some serious changes, every other child born will be on the spectrum. Wow. This is powerful stuff. And she has the expertise and the courage to come out and say that. And Dr. Judy Mikovits, who wrote the book Plague, I highly recommend, folks, if you can get to her talk, her seminar. Judy is fabulous. And I'm assuming also that the endocannabinoid talk will be done by Dr. Hicks. Is that correct?
Dr. Hicks is included in the endocannabinoid medicine proceedings. He'll be presenting in the general conference in the endocannabinoid medicine or medicinal cannabis track. He'll also be presenting in the certificate program as well, yes.
Yeah, because, folks, the reason I bring these names up is that these are the top people in the whole country. And so for me, when I look at going to spend some time there with Ann and Terry and all of the folks that you'll meet, it's like taking a graduate course in 5 days. And I go to 3, 4, sometimes 5 meetings in a day and just can't get enough of it because the stuff is so interesting. And the last thing I'm going to say on just how interesting is that I teach a graduate course in autism. And when I look at my book, I realize that even though it's dated 2015, it's outdated because the information that you folks will be getting is just the cutting edge, and a lot of it's not even in the books or textbooks yet. So that's exciting, Gary, isn't it?
Yes, and there's no substitute for being there in person because you are going to be getting tidbits from fellow parents and fellow colleagues, just growing ideas. It's a high-energy event, great synergy. You mentioned Dr. John Hicks, and I guess it's okay now to let people know about his book. He has a book out. It's available on Amazon. It's called The Medicinal Power of Cannabis, Using a Natural Herb to Heal Arthritis, Nausea, Pain, and Other Ailments. And it's just chock full of references that can lead you further into more information.
Yeah, Dr. Hicks is one of my favorites, and I've told him that. He's been on the show at least twice, maybe 3 times now. And I think that what we've discussed and what your folks will hear at the conference is that it's not that I'm in any way denigrating applied behavior analysis. I'm not that at all. But in speaking with Dr. Martha Herbert from Harvard at lunch there, I had the good fortune of lunch with her, I said, Dr. Herbert, it seems to me that applied behavior analysis is wonderful as long as we've taken care of the physical component first, which usually has to do with the intestines. And she said, absolutely. So what I'm championing, Terry, is that every kid in the United States, when they're diagnosed as being on the spectrum, it is my contention that we need to start with the simplest things first, which has to do with the medical issues and the gut. And once we've kind of solved that, then we can go on and use the various forms of teaching that are helpful. So your thoughts on that, Terry?
Well, absolutely. Any listener out there, any adult out there who's reasonable would admit that if they had a migraine headache or their stomach was cramping up, they wouldn't be able to perform at their academic work as well. And that's the same kind of respect and whole body approach that children with autism deserve. Just to get back to the endocannabinoid medicine, the medicinal cannabis, even the U.S. Surgeon General has referenced preliminary data indicating that some conditions can be helped by medicinal cannabis, and that was in The Hill, thehill.com. So there's some substantiation there as well.
Wow. Terry, if we have a minute, and we do, I'd like to focus just a bit on your keynote speaker. I don't know him, but I'd like to hear about what he'll be doing.
Well, Autism One takes a big picture approach. So I'll get to your question, but we take a big picture approach. Autism doesn't exist in a vacuum. It doesn't exist in a vacuum. And, for example, there was a movement called CODEX, C-O-D-E-X, and that's related to restricting dietary supplements for citizens. People can look that up. And how that relates to autism is because children with the diagnostic label of autism often need good, high-quality nutritional supplements as part of their program of restoration, their road to recovery. So we take a big picture approach. Now, with Edwin Black, we have to think that there are other political or whatever things going on in the world that put a hindrance to, for example, peer review or the real information getting out to citizens. And what Edwin Black is about, he's an award-winning New York Times best-selling international investigative author of over 120 editions in 14 languages in 65 countries. He's a syndicated columnist. He has more than 1 million books in print. And his work includes focuses on human rights, genocide and hate, corporate criminality and corruption, governmental misconduct, academic fraud, and historical investigation. And he wrote a book, like the quintessential volume on this topic, he wrote a book called War Against the Weak, Eugenics and America's Campaign to Create a Master Race. Now, Dr. Andy, you probably know from your travels that there's so much talk related to autism about looking for the autism gene, when instead so many of us know that, take good prenatal care, don't get exposed to toxins postnatally, and try to stave off the diet label of autism, try to stave off that immune illness. But instead, there's people out there putting a ton of money down a rabbit hole of genetics investigation to find the elusive autism gene. And when they put out a study that says, we found a gene, it's maybe only 2% of that had it, or a very small minority. And I know we have to go to break, so let's pick up on this when we come back from break.
Yeah, great, Terry. This is a real interest of mine. So after our short break, we're going to come back and chat about this. And I'm I'm really interested. I was interested before, and I'm doubly interested now to hear about what Mr. Black, Edwin Black, has to say. Folks, we'll
really
be right
important.
Back.
Short commercial break. Stay tuned.
HealthyLife.net, the positive radio network.
Hi, folks. This is Autism with Dr. Andy. Today's guest is Terry Aranga, Executive Director of Autism One. Welcome back, Terry.
Thank you, Dr. Andy. Before the break, you were asking about our keynote address at the Autism One 2016 conference, which you can find at www.autismone.org. And our keynote is Edwin Black, who is an award-winning New York Times best-selling international investigative author. Now, we were talking about those studies that pour money into looking for the elusive autism gene, okay? When we know that you should take care of yourself preconceptually, prenatally, and take care of the person postnatally, don't expose them to toxins, okay? But there's people out there touting studies about some autism gene, and it only applies to a minority. It is not significant insofar as being any sort of to mitigate, to staunch the epidemic, the true epidemic, where Stephanie Seneff of MIT predicts that by 2032, one in two children will have autism. Why is this relevant to autism? Let's think about Down syndrome. The Down syndrome community was making progress way back when, decades ago. We know that even though Down syndrome has definitely something genetic going on, that children can be helped biomedically and educationally, even if they already have Down syndrome. So the Down syndrome community was making progress. And then you started having screening before the child was born, prenatally, for Down syndrome. And then Down syndrome fetuses started being aborted more often. And we don't want that to happen in autism. So.
Yeah, Terry, what an important point. And it's a point I have not thought of, that, if there is a genetic component, which is minuscule, I believe, that then folks would abort the child. And you and I have both seen so many incidents where, children who are born on the spectrum do wonderfully well. I mean, there's also a group that, are challenged throughout their lives, and in a sense, they're all challenged, but, I mean, just to abort children on that is would be shameful.
Well, wait, Dr. Andy. We don't use the term that children are born with autism. So we don't use that term, that children are born with it. Dr. Bernie Rimland, who founded Autism Society of America and Autism Research Institute, found that regressive autism became more prevalent. The child was meeting milestones. Families had videos of the child being perfect. A child was said by their doctor one day to be in great shape. A family never noticed a sign of autism before, and then they had vaccination and they regressed dramatically or less dramatically.
Yeah.
There's each.
Sorry, like to tell you and our listeners a quick story. I was invited to a conference with a group that I will not mention the name, but millions of dollars are being poured into the genetic study as related to autism. And I raised my hand, and they had about four or five doctor research type people there. And I said, well, what about vaccines? What about electromagnetic frequencies? What about glyphosate, which is in Roundup? How about antibiotics and genetically modified foods? And you know what they did, Terry? You can almost take a guess. It would be wrong to ask you to take a guess. They shut me down and wouldn't answer any of my questions.
So we want people to stop wasting money where the answer is not. And especially, we don't want them pouring money into something that can lead into fetuses being aborted, when you can take steps to prevent an eventual diagnostic label of autism. And even if an individual has autism, children have recovered from autism, become indistinguishable from their peers, and they deserve to be given that chance. Now, Dr. Andy, so Edwin Black, we want people to have a big picture perspective on this topic, the topic of eugenics. And we want children, we don't want children to be labeled even before they have a chance to enter this world and to be done away with. We don't want that.
You know, Terry, a wonderful example of what you just said is my show, which was on at 10 Pacific today, for last week, was with Mary Romaniak, whose book is Victory Over Autism, and I know Mary's a good friend of yours. And it's a shining example of how a very, very challenged young man is now no longer considered on the spectrum.
Thank you for mentioning that, Dr. Andy. Thank you very much. Yeah.
So this is important stuff.
I know we have to go to break now, Dr. Andy, and when we come back, let's talk more about HPV and about Stephanie Seneff and some important points there.
Okay. So, folks, we're going to take a short commercial break, and we'll be right back with Terry Aranga from Autism One. And just one more commercial before we go out. If you would like to go to this conference, sign up for this conference in Chicago, in May, and that would be May 25th to the 29th, go to their website, www.autismone.org. We'll be right back.
Where positive people and radio unite. HealthyLife.net.
Hi, folks. This is Autism with Dr. Andy, and today's guest, Terry Aranga, is the executive director of Autism One, and they are presenting a conference, their annual conference, in Chicago, May 25th to 29th. And welcome back, Terry.
Thank you, Dr. Andy. You were asking me about our keynote speaker, Edwin Black, before the break, and he's the author of War Against the Weak, Eugenics in America's Campaign to Create a Master Race. And talking a little bit more about that whole overall topic of eugenics, I was mentioning how we want children to have the opportunity to be born. We want families to have the opportunity to have joy with children so that their children are born. We talked about the Down syndrome community and how they had been making progress in decades past, and then some genetic prognosticator came out and more people had abortions. And we know that even if someone's been given a prognosis that they're child will be born with Down syndrome, it's just not even so. It's not always accurate. But the point is to take good care preconceptually, prenatally, postnatally. Don't get exposed to toxins as much as possible. And we are very concerned about money being poured into genetic testing that could be used for some sort of a prenatal test that says that the fetus has an autism gene, and we're very concerned about the possibility of parents being encouraged to abort. So we don't want that. Autism One does not want that. How does this touch on other parts of the conference? Well, again, take good care, avoid toxins, and Stephanie Seneff of MIT, I have interviewed her in the past, and she believes that you know, GMOs, glyphosate, mercury, and aluminum are causative factors in an eventual autism diagnosis. And I just want to point out that autism is a diagnostic label and that we have to work together and be empowered together. So many of these chronic illnesses share similarities. Share similarities in etiology, causation. They just all end up with different diagnostic labels, and that separates people and makes them less empowered. So there are similarities in causation. There are similarities in restoration. So those are toxins you want to avoid, the toxins associated with the GMOs, the mercury, the aluminum. Now, there's a lot of talk about mercury and aluminum with vaccines, and with the HPV vaccine that is grievously injuring so many girls around the world. Norma Erickson of SaneVax says, quote, HPV vaccines are the poster children for anything that could possibly go wrong with a vaccine or vaccination program. And parents in the autism advocacy community who are savvy to the real physiological issues underlying an autism diagnostic label in this autism epidemic know what the perils are with vaccine components, and they watch the legislative efforts in this nation that are trying to force this medical procedure and these ingredients upon children and restrict parental rights. And that's why this is relevant to this conference. So we're having a global HPV advocacy symposium with speakers from around the world and panel discussion and advocacy discussion. And that is a component of the conference. So, Dr. Andy, do you want to talk about the EMFs now?
Yeah, I would. I'm especially interested because I have been in contact with Martha Herbert and Cindy Sage, who have done a landmark, two papers actually, on EMFs and the potential for genetic issues. And as I understand it from talking to Cindy, they were getting like 40,000 hits a month. And have you heard about this paper?
I think I probably have, but I didn't know about the 40,000 hits.
Yeah, and so what's fascinating about it, Terry, is that, you know, we're surrounded by electromagnetic frequencies on our cell phones and the cell towers and microwaves and computers and you name it. And no one's really looked into it, and yet we know that, like in the case of Johnny Cochran, now they believe his brain cancer was caused by his overuse of the cell phone. So it's a concern, and I think that Dr. Herbert and Cindy Sage, when they did their paper, which has a couple of hundred research quotes to show what they're saying is something to look further into, they're basically saying this is an area that deserves immediate attention and further research because it's very, very serious, and yet it's something that we hear almost nothing about. So maybe you can tell us a little bit about what the conference will be saying.
There will be a lot of coverage on EMFs at the conference, both with speakers and with exhibitors who you can visit and exchange input back and forth. Peter Sullivan will be speaking. We're waiting to hear on whether Dr. Martin Paul can get back in time from another engagement to present. He has very media information, and we want to talk about prevention. We'll be talking about prevention, you know. So possible topics would be how EMFs damage sperm, how you can protect yourself from EMFs, how EMFs let other toxins across the blood-brain barrier. Something really exciting that's coming up at the 2016 conference is that there's going to be the Clear Light Ventures Clear Space, and the Clear Light Ventures Clear Space will demonstrate elements of a model healthy home with emphases on key environmental suspects in autism. The space is going to feature low wireless and EMF, along with low noise, high quality lighting, good air quality, and low toxins. This clear space is going to model an ideal natural environment for our children's nervous systems to grow without interference. And the space will demonstrate what an ideal space feels like so that conference attendees can experience the benefits there. You know, there can be interaction between, for example, mercury and EMFs. Do the EMFs not allow you to detoxify from the mercury, or do they potentiate the mercury in some way? Even the World Health Organization has expressed concern regarding children and electromagnetic fields. They have an EMF research agenda. So we would encourage attendees to come experience this clear space, the Clear Light Ventures clear space.
Wow, great stuff. As I'm listening to you and you mentioned EMS, Dr. Steven Sinatra came to mind. And I don't know if you know the story of him and his son and the effect of electromagnetic frequencies. Are you familiar with that, Terry?
You know what? And all that comes across my desk and computer and phone doctor, Andy, I have had some...
When we come back from commercial break, Dr. Steven Sinatra is a New York-based cardiologist, very well known. His son was dying. They couldn't figure out what was going on, and he figured it out, and it had to do with the EMFs, and we'll talk about that when we come back. So, folks, we'll be back shortly with Terry Aranga, Executive Vice President of Autism One. And again, if you'd like to sign up for the conference, go to www.autismone.org.
Radio your way. HealthyLife.net.
Hi, folks. This is Autism with Dr. Andy. Today's guest, Terry Aranga, is the Executive Director of Autism One. And welcome back, Terry.
Thank you, Dr. Andy. You were about to tell us about Dr. Sinatra and his son.
I'm sorry, say that again, please.
You were about to tell us more about Dr. Sinatra and his son.
Yes. Dr. Steven Sinatra is a New York-based cardiologist, very well-known throughout the country, whose son was very ill, and he couldn't find a reason. And he had gone from being a healthy, well-built guy to losing a great deal of weight and becoming very frail. And he found that it was due to electromagnetic frequency issues. And he set up a situation where his son would not be bombarded by these things, and all of a sudden the young man got better. So this is a real interest of mine, and he went on to write a book called Earthing, EARTHING, which has to do with getting our feet in the earth or the sand, and then what it does for us in terms of balancing the positive and negative ions in our body. So maybe that's someone you might even think about for future conferences, Terry, but I know that people you have on EMFs will be just great. So
yes.
Let me continue on. And the folks also, I want to give Terry and Ed a commercial because these are two of the most dedicated people I've ever met. And, you know, there are lots of organizations that are in it for the money, and that is definitely not them. And I would totally, fully support your donating to Autism One, because they do a great job, and this is all about serving the community and not about serving themselves. So I just want to mention that again. If you're thinking around this Christmas season, you know, who should I donate to? Where can I donate money where it's going to be used for the proper purpose? Think of Terry and Ed in www.autismone.org. So with that said, Terry, tell us more about the conference.
Dr. Andy, thank you so much. Yes, we do bring the real deal insofar as information to the public and are one of the relatively few venues that do. We also want to send a big thank you to our colleagues at Focus for Health, and there will be a Focus for Health track which will present the latest crucial information about reframing discussions about autism, chronic illness, and the environment. Dr. Brian Hooker will be speaking, Dr. David Lewis, and Sherry Marino. And if people don't know, the mission of the Focus for Health Foundation is to promote advocacy, education, and research to combat the rise of chronic illness occurring around the world. Focus for Health supports so many efforts that increase public awareness of the connection between hazardous environmental exposures and the immune system, and they address how social determinants of health and inequality within populations create vulnerability to disease. So very congruent mutual missions, and we just want to send a huge shout out of thanks to Focus for Health. Are you familiar with them, Dr. Andy?
Yes, I am. And Terry, I want to make a quick note that because you've been kind enough to have me on the schedule, and my talk on Thursday will be the best of Dr. Andy, which is the best of my 170 so show radio shows. Stop by, folks, and say hello. I'd love to meet you. And that's the kind of conference this is. People are interested in meeting you, finding out what you're interested in, what your needs are, and I certainly am one of those folks that want to hear from you. But Terry, you mentioned a name that is very important to me. Would you tell folks a little bit about Dr. Brian Hooker? Because he's a very special guy.
Dr. Brian Hooker reanalyzed data from a paper, and I know we haven't gotten into the politics of peer review and all of that, but there are papers out there, alleged research papers out there, that purportedly bolster confidence in vaccine safety. Well, unfortunately, data was fudged, and the authors on that study were also authors on other studies. And Dr. Brian Hooker brought this to light to the public. And so listeners can look up CDC whistleblower, Dr. William Thompson, et cetera. And so many of those so many pages of documentation are in the hands of Congressman Posey's office and more. But, yeah, Brian Hooker, Dr. Brian Hooker, a really good egg.
Yeah, and a very important man in bringing about the truth as related to the causes of kids being on the spectrum.
Absolutely.
Terry, I want you to tell the folks whatever it is I missed. So any area you want to go with this, and just go right ahead.
I can't think of anything you missed, Dr. Andy, but I would agree with you that Dr. Brian Hooker is up there in the very top echelon of individuals who will go down in history as being beneficial to children's health in all of history.
And Terry, because I consider you and Ed, and this is not false flattery, it's just the truth, I consider you and Ed two of the most knowledgeable people about autism in the U.S. And my question is that if you could have a wish list of a few things that you'd love to happen that would help our kids on the spectrum, what would that look like?
Well, we want children to enjoy good health and function, and that is what we are trying to do. We are trying to protect and preserve good health, function, and skill, and restore where there's already an autism diagnostic label and grievous injury to health and loss of skill and function. We strive to help restore that. And, you know, you see so many stories of nonverbal children with autism, for example, wandering and drowning.
Yeah.
Or being hit by a vehicle.
Terry,
we want those children to be safe.
I'm sorry, you go ahead.
We want those children to be safe and for families and children to have joy together. So,
Terry, is Dr. Jackie Marquette going to be there this year?
she is not on the speaker list for this year, and she's pursuing additional activities with her son Trent's wonderful artwork, Trent Altman.
Wonderful, wonderful. I'd just like to give Jackie a little commercial, if I may, because she's developed, and I've worked with her on this, she's developed something called the Marquette Strength Index to help kids on the spectrum find out what their strengths are for career possibilities. But I hope maybe she'll be with us next year. Because we just have a couple of minutes left, and because I'm so fascinated about all of this and delighted that you're going to have Edwin Black in, I think that it's so critical, Terry, that people realize that there's so much that goes on behind the scenes, and many times it's all driven not by care for our youngsters, but rather motivated by other things, especially financial gain. And I find that very upsetting. And so I want to end with this. Again, folks, if you're looking to donate to a group that really makes a difference, that has the interests of our children number one and not themselves number one, think about donating to www.autismone.org. And your money will be well spent. And we're looking forward to making a difference, because we can't let it happen. What Dr. Stephanie Seneff is saying, by the year 2025, every other kid born on the spectrum, that would be a disaster. So we've got to make a difference, and we have to do it now. And Terry Langa, I want to thank you for being with me today. You were always a joy to talk to, so knowledgeable, and your husband, Ed, thanks for all the wonderful things you do. And folks, we'll see you next week. Listen again. We're looking forward to having you every week listen to Autism with Dr. Andy, part of HealthyLife.net. Thanks again for being with us, and have a great weekend.